anybody can bring home the bacon. I just happen to be able to do it with my bacon.
Hello, and welcome to Episode 5 of Power Play. My name is Jim Jones.
And I'm Peter Street.
And we have another great show for you tonight. So why don't you go ahead and run down the topics for today's show, Peter?
All right, well, this Episode 5 segments are going to entail more retro topics. We're going to discuss, first of all, a personalized history of Sega. Basically, Jim and I are going to recount some of our most fond and personal memories, our dear memories, of our experience with the various Sega machines. I personally, and I'm sure Jim probably feels this way too, that personally I feel that Sega is one of the greatest contributions to the industry that has ever existed.
They're good. They're good.
Yeah, I think they're fantastic. In a lot of ways, if you trapped me into a corner and, you know, tortured me until I told the truth about how I feel about video games, I'm not sure that I wouldn't say that Sega is my favorite company.
Ooh, I was going to say they're no Nintendo.
Yeah, I don't really feel that way about it. But anyway, we're going to run down memory lane and remember Sega, but from our own personal perspective.
Yeah.
And just give some of the memories that we were fond of as we saw it going through the Sega generation.
Growing up with all the different...
Growing up Sega with generations. Sega. Yeah. Exactly, yeah. After this segment, we'll be, once again, discussing what we're playing, which we like to do, basically. Mm-hmm. Telling everyone what is on our current plate when it comes to our games. And at the same time, this is more or less our review segment, since we don't actually give ratings and number reviews. We like to at least talk about what we think about our current games. Our final segment will be Would You Rather. It's basically a segment where we take a game, usually one that's terrible, and we give the option, basically, more or less, what would you rather do than play an abundance of this game.
Yep.
It's going to be a little bit different this week, but that's pretty much our show segments this time.
All right, well, let's get into our first segment. Okay, well, we're going to take these one at a time on the different consoles, different Sega consoles through the generations. Start with one of the earliest Sega consoles, which is the Master System.
Yes.
I have very limited experience with this console, actually. I played maybe a couple games on it. My cousins had it way back in the day. And
right.
When I had the NES, I had the better system.
Yeah.
But whenever I'd go over there, I'd play it. And one of my favorite games to play was Altered Beast. That is one of the greatest
Altered
Master
Beast.
System games ever. Yeah.
That was a fantastic game.
That was awesome. And the fact that you could turn into all the different animals, or different monsters, they're not really animals. They're creatures.
Yeah, like werewolves.
Yeah,
really
wolves and, like, fish, monster, monkey tailed. I don't know what it was. It was freaky, though.
Yeah.
But it was cool because you kept powering up. And power-ups are awesome, by the way. Any game with a power-up is A-okay.
What are the objectives?
Kill a bunch of guys. It's a side-scrolling beat-em-up game where you just go through and beat up different bosses.
Yeah, interesting. Kind of like Double Dragon and...
Yeah, yeah.
Games like that.
Except this one has cool power-ups that turn you into creatures. It's pretty sweet.
Sounds cool.
You have any memories of the Master System yourself?
Oh, the Master System. I never owned one either. Unlike you, though, I didn't know anyone who had it. My experience early on with the Master System basically came in the form of me eating at the local Pizza King restaurant. I don't know how they do this across the nation, but at this particular Pizza King, it had a setup that I thought was second to none awesome. Each booth was equipped with its own game system. And not only that, but you were brought your drinks. They brought your drinks out by a waitress? No, by a train. A train set was set up throughout the entire pizzeria, and it basically delivered all your beverages on the train. And way back in the day, they had Master Systems. This was actually back during the Genesis era, too.
Oh, yeah. It was
during the 16-bit era, but they still had Master Systems.
Must have cost them a lot of money to put that in.
Oh, man, I guess, because, they're cheap. They're cheaper today, but this was back when they were hundreds of dollars per system. Yep. They had a Genesis in every other booth. They had Nintendo in every other, they had it was an equal mix between Genesis, Nintendo, and Master System.
Wow.
So it was unheard of. It was where I first played Sonic the Hedgehog. We'll get into that later, I guess.
That is not a story you would hear today. I played my first video game sitting in a pizza joint, playing it on a screen in the booth. You did not hear that
You'll
today.
Never... You nip
no. No.
Hell no. Those days are gone.
Oh, yeah.
Which is why it's such a sacred memory for me.
They had a $600 PS3 in every booth.
First played Metal Gear 4 in a pizzeria.
They went bankrupt a week later.
Fragged my first fucker in Halo 3 and pizza came. Nope, not gonna happen. I wish, but
yeah,
that's where I first played Master System, and for the life of me, I cannot remember the game that I was playing, but it reminded me a hell of a lot in its design like Kid Icarus.
Oh, really?
It was a guy with wings, and he was flying around, it was clouds, but it was not that game, it was definitely Master System.
You sure you weren't playing the NES at one of those booths?
Oh, distinctly remember, because I had an NES at the time.
Oh, yeah.
I hadn't got my Genesis yet, that was to come shortly. It's probably the following year that I got the Genesis system, but I owned the Nintendo, thought it was awesome, but, obviously when you're a gamer and a kid, you wouldn't mind having all the systems. Bring the more the merrier,
sure.
So I played the Master System, and I really was amazed, because whatever game it was a ton of fun. It was just a lot of fun. And, maybe that was added to by the fact that I was surrounded by trains delivering me drinks and
an endless flow of
family fun and pizza everywhere.
Yeah.
That probably added to the great pleasure of that day. But,
maybe a little.
But the Master System, whatever game it was really good. It was a lot of fun. I don't have any clue what it was now, but later on, I got a Master System emulator, played a game that I looked up on Wikipedia just to go through memory lane. It was a ton of fun. It was called Wonder Boy, and it's a very famous series. Some of our listeners, probably a lot of our listeners, may even be avid fans of the series. There are tons of these games. They range from the Sega Master System to Game Gear to arcade to various PCs. These games are everywhere, but they're kind of a mixture between your Zelda and your Mario with the platforming, but it's kind of in its unique universe where you're this kid who can transform into dragons and they're actually lizards and hawks, tigers, lions, piranhas. And basically, each form has its own advantage.
Yeah.
Piranha, obviously, you can swim the water. With the hawk, you can fly. As the lizard man, you shoot fire, and that reaches longer than your normal sword strikes. So it really has an epic feel to it. The one I played starts in the final dungeon of the game before it, facing the final boss.
So you probably don't want to play the prequel.
I would definitely say play the prequel so you know what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
Because I had no idea, but it seemed pretty epic. And I played the game. It's very, very much, in a lot of people's minds, a competitor to, some of the games that changed the industry forever, like Mario.
Wow.
Zelda. You've got your heart containers is obviously your life, very much like Zelda. But it's just a blast to play. It's a lot more arcade in the way that it's structured than those games. It's definitely shorter than those games, but it has a hell of a lot of ingenuity shoved in there.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, that the Master System really would have been excellent if they just, you know, had a little bit more support. That's basically all I can say about the system, since I've never owned one.
Okay.
Myself.
Yeah, I don't think we have too much to talk about the Master System, because neither of us had one.
After talking about it, though, I believe I'm going to find an emulator.
Oh, yeah.
And
Find the real thing. Screw emulators.
Well, yeah, I might. Do you have any idea how much they're going for on the eBay?
It can't be more than $15.
Really?
They're cheap, yeah.
Wonder how much the cartridges are.
Probably not that much either.
I'll fucking get one.
Why not?
I'm gonna buy a Master System.
Get a retro console.
I'm gonna get a retro console. We're gonna have we'll do a hardcore retro party.
Awesome.
We'll play nonstop. Then we'll review everything we did.
Cool.
On the show. On one of our future podcasts.
Sounds good.
All right. We'll do that, definitely. Dig into the meat.
The meat of the retro. The retro meat.
The retro meat.
All right.
The bacon, if you will.
The bacon. Let's move into the Sega Genesis, which we have much more experience with. Or
yes.
At least you do. I actually never even owned a Sega Genesis.
No, that's just sad.
It is sacrilege. It's blasphemy. How could I not have?
This is, folks, this is how you know this show is completely authentic and genuine. Any other podcast out there would totally fake this and pretend that they owned the Genesis on launch day, stood in line for it, and played every game to completion. But no, here we have Jim Jones confessing the unconfessible.
I confess.
Never owned a Genesis.
Actually, I had it on launch day. I owned every game for it. Oh, wait, no.
We'll just edit that first part out.
Okay, yeah, that's gone. Anyway, no, you're right. I never had a Sega Genesis. My cousins did. They were the Sega fans of the family. And I went over there and I played it a lot. Played Sonic. Played several of the Sonics.
So you played key titles.
I played some of the big titles, yeah. And
that's good, at least.
Just never had one. I was an NES kid. Or a Nintendo kid. NES, Super NES.
Yeah. You know, I must say, I can remember the situation that brought about me getting a Sega Genesis, because I did own one. Owned it, played it, loved it. For years I had that, and it was just an amazing turn of events that might be also equally unbelievable to our listeners.
Really?
I was able to get a Genesis. Now, Genesis came out prior to Super Nintendo. Mm-hmm. But before then, it hadn't caught fire. There was no Sonic.
Yeah.
There weren't a lot of key titles. No killer app to be found. And the Super Nintendo came out, and I immediately got one. Wanted it bad. My dad brought it in. I played Super Mario World like it was the sacrament of Christ, and it was just amazing. I played it constantly. I mean, I'll never forget that experience of first beating Super Mario World. It was just, it's still my favorite Mario Brothers game.
It's great.
But after a while, there weren't a lot of games coming out right initially after the Super NES came out.
Yeah.
I was tired of waiting. And I had been seeing commercials about this thing called Sonic the Hedgehog, and the commercials were so much hipper
than
Nintendo
cool.
commercials.
Sonic is cool.
Sonic is cool. And
cooler than Mario.
He came across as more fun and exciting than anything you'd get on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
And I bought it. You know, I was getting into it. And it was funny because my brother actually came in and said, you know, you don't have hardly any games for this thing, this Super Nintendo. Why don't you just get I hear all kinds of stuff about Sega Genesis. And I was like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. The Super Nintendo is still more powerful. You know, I was trying to be a Nintendo fanboy, even though I kind of was surprised that he even knew anything about video games.
And you agreed with him.
And I kind of agreed with him. So I didn't want to come across as, you know, I wanted to know more.
Sure, yeah.
So I defended staunchly my Super Nintendo. 2 weeks later, I did not have a Super Nintendo anymore.
Really?
Yes.
You got rid of your Super Nintendo?
We took it back.
Wow.
We took it back to the store, and this was way before you had these 90-day return policies and everything. I'd had the system for fucking, you know, 6 months.
I gotta say, that was stupid. Considering the Super Nintendo's library, that was pretty stupid.
This is a show about Sega.
Yeah.
And it's all true.
Yeah,
and, you know, you might be right.
Oh, I'm right. I'm right, trust me.
I'm pretty sure you are, but, yeah. I said, okay, I've already defeated Mario World.
Yeah.
I've been there, done that. That was unforgettable, but I want to move on. You know, I'd played a number of other games, rented games, and
yeah.
I'd experienced some other of what the Super NES had to offer at that time. And I just felt that it would be a good move, and I wanted something different and new. And I sold my Super Nintendo. Actually, we took it right back to the store, got full in-store credit, and we turned around and we bought a Sega Genesis.
Wow.
So here's this black, and it's a black console.
It's the dark side.
Wicked. I felt like I turned to the dark side. I kind of felt empty, too, because I beat a couple levels of Sonic. It was neat and everything, but it wasn't as deep as Mario World by a damn sight.
But it was fun.
But it was great fun, and it took me a while to really convert.
Yeah.
It was like changing religions. You had to learn the new faith, as it were.
Yeah.
So I beat Sonic, and I went to school and bragged about it. And a number of my other friends who were the Sega kids, they had Genesis as well, and they were big Sonic fans. And then we started talking about Sonic 2's coming out real soon.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to have this new character, Tails. And then we started talking about other games that were exclusive at the time for Genesis, like Rocket Knight Adventures.
Yeah.
Still one of my favorite platformers. That game is amazing. I beat that so many times. And just a lot of other games. There were a number of kids there that were Sega sports fans.
Oh, yeah.
And
had some
played
great sports games on the Sega Genesis.
Yeah, really excellent sports games. And then there were games like Shining Force. Uh-huh. And you can't get those experiences anywhere. And
true.
At the time, those were some of the best game experiences.
Yeah.
The Phantasy Star games, obviously.
Yeah, Shining Force is a series I've never played that I really want to play.
Have you never
played? I've never played Shining Force.
Oh,
I've been very tempted, because I do have a Genesis now.
You have one now?
I have a Genesis now. I bought it a long time ago, but didn't have it when I was growing up. But now I want to play Shining Force, because I've heard so much about it, and I've been tempted to buy them, but they're like $35 online, and I'm a cheapskate.
Which one?
One or two. I don't care.
That's pretty expensive for a cartridge.
$35.
Genesis cartridge game. Wow.
Yeah, it's with the box and everything. It's complete, but but still kind of expensive.
Yeah, it sure is. Is your Genesis the old design?
Model one. Yeah.
Is it really?
It's the original design, the big, wide one.
Oh yeah, that's the one I had.
Yeah. Which I just had to open it up. My volume knob for my headphones and my reset button weren't working. I opened it up and the volume knob was not even on the volume switch. It was smashed down to the side, so I had to open it up and fix it. It works now. I was playing Altered Beast the other day.
You can tell that was in the golden age of gaming, because you actually were able to fix your own console without having a tech come to your house and
paying $100.
Right. Well, that's awesome. Well, you're finally, at least you're making up for lost time.
Yeah.
That's good. I would love to hold that controller again. It's big and awkward compared to the sleek SNES controller, but
sure.
It felt like nothing else. I mean,
if
you try and play now, I've tried to play like Sonic on the keyboard and on my Genesis, on a Genesis ROM, and it's just, it doesn't compete.
No, that's one of the reasons I don't like ROMs, is because you can't play them with the original control. Although my brother has one of the original NES controls, it's USB. So he plays ROMs with that. That's kind of cool. But it's still not the original system. It doesn't feel the same.
I'd say that'd be as close as it gets.
Yeah,
that really would compete as far as the experience goes.
Sure.
But still probably not perfect. Because even the emulators play them weird.
Yeah.
They look a little different sometimes. Maybe even better, but it's not the
it's
the
still different
good old experience you remember.
Yep. But some of my Sega Genesis memories, besides going to my cousin's house, I knew a kid that I went to school with when I was in late elementary, early junior high, and he had a Genesis, and I'd go over to his house after school, and we'd play Mortal Kombat 2.
Yeah.
On Genesis, and that was a killer game for Genesis.
And it had blood.
Oh, it had blood.
It had blood.
Unlike my version of it.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah, on the Super
Genesis. I played the... during that time as well, you know, that's when I had converted over to the dark side, as it were. And, man, that black console really was wicked.
Yep.
I felt I gave up a lot giving up the Super Nintendo, but eventually I became a staunch Sega fan out of that experience. But I went to my cousin's house, who still had a Super Nintendo, and played the Mortal Kombat game.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is candy canes and lollipops. What is this? This is not Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, and a game like Mortal Kombat, you need blood. You need blood.
Yeah. Known way before then from the arcade games to be blood and gores and fatalities.
Yeah, fatality, and they just fall over? No, come on. There has to be blood shooting.
I almost got sick. I almost vomited just to get some gore in on this freaking living room. It was... How was it playing it on the Genesis? Because I never actually played the Genesis.
Much better.
Was it?
Yeah, yeah. It was, and you
had
the six buttons.
Did that make you want a Genesis?
I like the six button configuration better because it felt a little bit more like the arcade, which the arcade version surpassed any of them. Forget about it. That was like the best Mortal Kombat and one of the best arcade games I've ever played.
Yeah.
Which will kind of date me because I never played any of the good old arcade games.
Right, like Joust and.
Yeah, or Robotron or any of those.
Right. I stood in line the other day because. Just to let all the listeners know, I'm now a brand new Wii owner.
Indeed.
And I was able to get one the day before yesterday, actually. And stood
lucky dog.
Indeed.
And you were having the best luck on this, let me tell you. You got 8th in line for the PS3 with only 8 consoles available at the store. And yesterday you got 18th in line.
Yeah.
With only 18 available Wiis.
Yes, sir.
Now, how lucky are you?
I'm just the luckiest gamer in the world right now.
You are.
Actually, I am sitting in a place with... I have PlayStation 3 in this very house.
Yep.
As well as a Wii system.
Indeed.
And
of course,
I've been
playing... The
PS3
is unopened and untouched.
That's correct.
but
waiting for...
you did get it.
To be sold.
Yeah.
On eBay. But, yeah, I did get it. I got both of them. Mm-hmm. And the last of both systems. Unbelievable. Yeah. Yeah, I can't hardly believe it still myself. But I've been having a lot of fun with the Wii console. And with the Wii system, when I was standing in line for it, the person that was, like, number 17 or whatever... as we were, because we all went up to the register in different orders. We had tickets, so it didn't matter.
Sure, yeah.
So I'm not sure what number he was, but he was standing there forever. It took him forever to ring up the Wii's. I don't know why. But he was a true old-school gamer. This guy was in his 30s.
Uh-huh.
He was around when the arcade boom started. Before
Very
it
nice.
Started.
Awesome.
And he was a D&D fan before then.
Oh, yeah.
This was the...
True gamer.
This guy was core of core.
Yeah.
And it was so awesome. He had a big-ass smile on his face the entire time. He was still fucking stoked. I mean, his blood was boiling with excitement about games still. And he wasn't obese. Like, you know, Gershner.
And he wasn't obese?
And he wasn't obese, and he still looked healthy. And happy. And he was just... He does not have a DS. And we were showing him Final Fantasy III,
The
opening scene on the DS, and he was blown away. He was like, I can't believe they can do anything near like this. Man, I grew up with Atari and, you know, Pong and Joust and talking about waiting in line for hours just to put your quarter in a fucking arcade machine.
In a Dragon's Lair machine.
Yeah.
Or
it just and he was so enthused, it was exciting for me just to wait in line with the guy. Even though I was so exhausted, I barely keep my eyes open.
Yeah.
It was still a fun experience just to wait in line with a true, you know, elder of games right next to me. Still enthused about it, too.
That is cool.
So it was fun. And I ended up getting Twilight Princess with it. Really great. But, yeah, that was the true era of arcade games. It was way before our time. But Mortal Kombat was part of the reinvigoration of arcades.
So do you have anything else to say about the Genesis? Any other experiences with it?
That's about it. I mean, we can jump into all the add-ons.
Ah, there were a lot of add-ons for this.
Yeah, there were like 500 add-ons, weren't there?
Closer to 700.
700 add-ons, yeah.
700, all $200 a piece. So it was a little pricey to buy all the add-ons for this system.
Yeah, he...
But I think they were worth it.
He had to be an oil tycoon to afford them all, but...
I heard not even the guy who made them all has them all.
Really?
Yeah. Regardless, there were only two true add-ons, I think. Like,
yeah, there
full-blown
were
add-ons
two,
for the Genesis.
Two mega add-ons. It was sort of like a, you know, Voltron or some kind of Megazord or something. You would, you kept adding parts. It looked ridiculous. Did you ever see the original Genesis, like the model that you have, with the first Sega CD that fit underneath it, and then a 32X on top of it. It seriously looks like a Megazord or something.
Yeah, it's insane, because my cousins had all this stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they had the CD, they had the
bastards.
32X, and when you look it all up, it looks like this monstrous piece of black plastic that...
With different
looks
shapes.
Like it should do everything you want it to.
Technically, at the end of the transformation, not only do you have Voltron, but you also get a 32-bit CD-based gaming system.
True.
With online capability.
Yeah. With online capability, all you had to do was spend $600 and hook it all together in this monstrous contraption.
Yep, and there's the next PlayStation. The better than
the
PS,
next gen.
PS1. They're right there, next gen. You had to assemble the next gen with MacGyver-like skill, but you still got next gen right there. So I never owned the Sega CD. I never owned any of the add-ons.
Yeah, neither did I.
Always
obviously.
Wanted to. Sega CD had at least one great game that I still haven't played, which apparently I need to play. Sonic CD is supposedly the best... the best 2D Sonic game ever made.
So you say. I don't know. Never played it.
I
so
never
it could
played
be.
It either. I was a huge Sonic fan when Sega CD came out. Needless to say, I wanted it.
And I don't think you have to qualify that with 2D, because I think the 2Ds are vastly better than the 3D ones anyway. So.
Yeah, they. Yeah,
so
I don't think anyone's...
If it's the best of the 2D, it's the best of all of them.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, the best Sonic game. Ever. So it's kind of sad that me being an enormous Sonic fan.
Yeah.
So I guarantee you, if there was a, you know, if Philips or Sony or any of the companies working with Nintendo actually made a Nintendo CD like they were trying to do, and there was a Mario game on it, I would have played it by now.
Yeah.
So I need to go ahead and bite the bullet. There is actually a Sonic Gems collection for the GameCube with Sega CD on it.
Sonic CD?
If you can find... Yeah, Sonic CD on it.
Huh.
And if you can find that, I suggest playing it, because I'm going to try and find it.
Yeah.
But I'd like to play the game on the original Genesis controller, though.
Yeah, yeah.
So
sure.
I may just eBay it.
But you have to eBay the Genesis and the
and
CD
the
and
add-on
Sonic CD.
And Sonic CD, which will probably be pretty costly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's probably going to be worth it, though. So.
Probably.
I'll check into that. But, yeah, I never was able to get one. Were you? Obviously, you...
Obviously not. I didn't have a Genesis.
I mean,
so.
It would be funny. You had the add-on, but no Genesis. That'd be kind of pointless. It was advertised as going to be... The 32X was the... Why wait? Sure, you've heard about this thing called PlayStation.
Uh-huh.
You know, even we are going to release a 32-bit system. All that's a year, year and a half down the road.
Yeah.
Jump into the next generation. Go to the next level now with a 32X. It's a big fold-out ad for the 32X, telling everybody why that was the shit.
Why wait?
And it was all about, why wait? Go ahead and jump in now. The next gen's here. if you're a gamer, you should have it. So I actually almost spent the money on a 32X. It was like all the savings that I ever had.
Oh, God.
I kept saving, and I ended up not getting it, and I ended up not getting a 3DO. I was going to buy a 3DO.
Oh, man. You made a couple good decisions in not buying those things.
Barely didn't buy the 32X or 3DO. Kept saving the money. Then I was going to buy a Saturn. Almost bought the Saturn.
Which would have been a good decision, I think.
It would have been. However, I didn't. I decided to keep waiting. And ended up the money that was originally for the 32X went to the Sony PlayStation. First PlayStation.
Oh,
right,
man.
When it came out.
That's exactly what they didn't want to happen.
It's exactly what that ad was telling me not to do. But in the end, I'm very glad I did it. Because I wouldn't have ever had a PlayStation for years.
Sure.
Instead, I got it the day it came out.
I was just thinking about this. Sega had an 8-bit, a 16-bit, a 32-bit, and then a 128-bit.
Yeah.
Nintendo never had a 32-bit console.
Never.
It went 8, 16, and then bam, 64.
Right into the 64. Yep. And there was no other company save Atari that had a 64 or claimed to have a 64-bit system. Yeah, Atari Jaguar.
Piece of crap.
Was a crappy machine.
And way overpriced.
But it claimed to be 64-bit.
Yeah. Which there was some disputing that, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of disputing that.
Yeah, I just thought that was interesting that they skipped that generation.
Yeah, they did.
And they still did really well. I mean, all these other 32-bit consoles came out, and Nintendo competed with them all the way up until the 64.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive, really.
Yeah, the Super Nintendo, one of its bigger years was 95. That's the last year for it, and the first year for PlayStation, in truth.
Anyway, we're not talking about Nintendo. I just thought that was interesting.
We're not talking about Sony or Nintendo.
No, we're talking about Sega.
So, anyway, never was able to own one of the 32X or the Sega CD. The only one I really regret is owning the Sega CD, because if I'm not mistaken, there were Lunar titles also available for the Sega CD.
Could have been. I can't remember.
32X, I don't really think I missed much.
I don't think so either.
Sega CD did have some gems on it.
Yeah.
But just couldn't afford it. Didn't ever have one.
The Sega CD, I mean, Sega was, like you said, the first one to come out with a 32-bit system. Mm-hmm. They were the first one to come out with the CD-based system, the disc-based system.
Yeah, they were innovating. They were taking their success with the Genesis and really trying to push the market forward, which I believe they did.
Yeah.
I mean, their attempts failed, but they really stimulated other companies to say, hey, wait a minute, man, these guys are huge and they're pushing the envelope. We need to do something and do it now.
Except for Nintendo, who did nothing.
Oh, they were experimenting, though.
Oh, yeah,
they tried.
With Sony.
And it really lit a fire under Nintendo, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is their first real competition.
Yeah,
you
sure.
Know,
the Genesis
ever.
Was.
I mean, they came back. They Phoenix down the industry, and then they ruled the roost for years and years and years, and they were synonymous with video games.
Definitely.
They didn't think, I mean, they had pride, you know it.
Yeah.
Here comes the Genesis, does nothing the first year. They come out with Super Nintendo, blows everybody away, everybody buys it up, and then Sonic the Hedgehog hits, and then a bunch of other series start to hit and catch fire. And what I didn't realize, which was in a documentary the other day about the history of video games, Sega actually won the 16-bit console war. I didn't know that. At the end of the production of the Genesis, and when they finally shut off making Super Nintendos, Sega had 55% of the market share, a 10% lead. That's amazing. I mean, that's pretty major. Sega really surprised everyone. And then they started to innovate, which pushed everyone to say, hey, we need to do something here. And I think that's why you see a lot of innovation in Nintendo today. I think a lot of it came from that rivalry.
Could be,
Nintendo said, hey, to survive, you have to innovate, but you have to do it intelligently. Sega never learned that part of it. They never learned
part.
Innovate, but do it when the technology's fully there to support your idea, and it's feasible to bring it into the marketplace, and you know, all these other, you know, logical business decision parts of innovation that make it actually something that sticks and people like and buy. They never quite got the business angle, but they knew that innovation was a good thing.
Yeah.
So they did it. I mean, you can see it in everything they've done, from the VMUs, from the Dreamcast, to the CD-based systems, trying to push polygon graphics early.
And they probably little-known add-on for the Genesis, which was not a full-blown add-on. It was like a peripheral.
Yeah.
Only released in Japan, but they were the first ones that I know of to actually do this, which was an online-based gaming service. They had an add-on for the Mega Drive in Japan you could stick a modem into and actually play games online.
It worked? Fully functional?
And it was fully functional in Japan for a while.
Yeah, I'd heard something about that, but I didn't think they actually had games for it.
Yeah, they pulled it off. It was up and running.
So people were playing online.
Yep, courtesy
with
of Sega.
The Genesis, courtesy of Sega.
Indeed. And that was the first time it had ever been done in
that
console history.
That blows my head off.
Yeah.
Really?
And we're just now getting back around to that with the Xbox.
Yeah.
I mean, just now.
I know.
A full, how many years later? 15 years later?
Oh, well, at least.
It's crazy. They were really ahead of the curve. But like you said, I don't think they had the business mind for it. Their ideas were maybe a little too early.
Yeah, they were just, and they weren't fully well thought out. I mean, there were bugs. I mean, a lot of these innovative systems didn't have good game support.
Yeah.
They didn't make sure the developers were on board and making good products for it. A lot of it was buggy. Every single person in the world that I seem to talk to who owned a Dreamcast and had a VMU, which was sort of, you know, really innovative thing. Nintendo thought it was because they basically turned the GBA into a VMU for certain GameCube titles.
Sure.
But the VMU was a great idea, but the two CR2032 batteries, the life on them got sucked up in a nanosecond. I don't know anyone who had one last long enough to level up their KO in Sonic Adventure. I mean, I played my VMU like twice, and then I bought batteries like $6 a shot twice in a row in a week.
Oh, my God.
And I thought, this is not worth it.
And you can't recharge those either.
Oh, hell no.
You know what I think they should have done with like the CD, the Sega CD and the 32X? Instead of releasing them as add-ons for the Genesis, which it makes it feel like you're kind of getting less for your money, doesn't it?
Oh, sure.
And they were the price of full-blown consoles.
Just about,
yeah,
they were.
Of their competitor's console, yeah. So I think they should have released those as full-blown consoles. Now, they were probably thinking it's a good idea because they can save money, because they've already got the guts of the machine in the Genesis.
Yeah.
And they can just slap something in there. But consumers, I think, saw it as kind of a ripoff, because they weren't getting this brand-new console. They were just getting something that plugs into their old one.
Yeah, they probably should have just held back and, you know, put more time and effort into developing the Saturn hardware.
Yeah.
Knowing that they would eventually have to directly compete in a next-gen console race. Which maybe, I mean, they weren't familiar with going to a new system. Genesis was kind of, I mean, they had the Master System and other systems before it, but I don't think they were prepared for the giant leap that gaming was about to take.
Yeah, sure.
So, I mean, they saw it heading in a new direction, and they were really putting innovative products that they thought were great and innovative out there, which they were to a degree, but it just wasn't fully thought through.
Yeah.
And ultimately, the add-ons helped put one of the nails in what was the coffin of Sega.
Yep. Sad.
Even after major comebacks, too, the add-ons still are linked to Sega's financial downfall and ultimate
death.
That's a
shame. Well, they're not quite dead, but I'd consider them dead.
Well, they're just a software company
yeah.
now.
Yeah, well, sure, their hardware company's dead, but...
Yeah, that's what I mean. That was their... Their spirit was killed back then, because, yeah. like, yeah.
They're just releasing, like, collections and stuff like that, compilation
Yeah, the collections
discs.
Are the best things coming out of Sega.
Yeah, so,
but,
it's
I mean,
a shame.
But, take their new titles, you know, there's a brand new Sonic the Hedgehog out there. Do I want to play it? No.
Not really.
It's for 360. Graphics look amazing. Every review on the planet says the game sucks balls, buggy as hell, not fun to play, not Sonic at all.
Did
Coming from Sonic Team.
Yeah, they didn't dismantle the Sonic Team yet?
I don't know if they lined up and shot all the Sonic Team members and then...
and then renamed someone
know,
else the Sonic Team.
Exactly, but I can't believe that after the amazing, like, you were downgrading 3D Sonics as not as good as 2Ds, which I agree with you.
Yeah.
But... Have you ever played Sonic Adventure?
Yeah,
Dreamcast?
A little bit. I played it at your house a little bit, and I played the demo and stuff.
Did you ever beat the game?
No, no, no.
I beat the game with all the characters, and while not all the characters are fun to play, the game as a whole is one of my favorite Sonic games ever.
Really?
It is great. It is so fantastic, lush, beautiful, fun to play, very Sonic, fast levels, unique designs... Unforgettable. And so same was true with the Phantasy Star Online for the Dreamcast. That was fantastic. Now there's a new one. I can play it on my 360 if I want to.
PSU.
It sucks ass.
Does it?
Phantasy Star Universe getting horrible reviews everywhere. No innovation. Terrible game. Not very good at all. And you would think now that they don't have hardware to focus on that some of the production values in the games that they're doing would go up and, like, through the roof.
You would think so.
But they've gotten worse, so that leads me to think that Sega was killed in 2001 when they stopped producing systems.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah, it's a shame. Well, why don't we move into the next hardware item, because it's not a console. It's a handheld system. It's the Game Gear.
Yep.
Which I actually did own this. This was my first Sega system to own. And I don't know why I chose this over the Game Boy, but I did. And I enjoyed this. I enjoyed the Game Gear thoroughly. I had Sonic, and I remember playing Space Harrier. That's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of fun.
That was fun.
Regardless of how terrible the graphics were on that, it was...
It was still pseudo 3D, so it impressed
yeah,
me.
Yeah, it was, but it was
visuals
badly
were
done.
Visuals coming at you. Oh, yeah,
badly
it was badly done.
Done,
but for the day.
Yeah, and it was fun. And, yeah, I remember we took a trip over to some other town here in Indiana.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm sure you remember this. Because we were there for, like, a week with my family, your family, and... another one of our friends, our parents' friends there.
Right, yes.
And we had the Game Gear, and I had a lot of stuff for this Game Gear. A lot of different games. I had the magnifier screen thing, which was this giant... I mean, you think of the magnifier screen for like a Game Boy and stuff, it's kind of small and a little out of the way, but...
Very portable.
For the Game Gear, it was this massive chunk of plastic with glass on the front. It was huge. It was probably... 5 inches by 5 inches by 5 inches.
I remember.
It was gigantic.
It was enormous.
Bigger than the system, more bulky than the system itself. And it's clamped on to the front of the Game Gear with this metal clamp. And I had that. I had the TV tuner, if you can remember that.
Oh, I remember it.
Which was, I think, a little-known add-on, but it was great.
Oh, yeah. TV tuner was awesome.
Yeah, you get all the wireless channels that you would normally get on your TV.
Yep.
And it worked really well. It did suck down batteries, but it was cool when you were in a car driving around.
It was
around.
Full color.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had a little Watchman at the time. It was black and white.
Oh,
I was so jealous.
Yeah.
Totally.
But, I mean, the TV tuner cost as much as the Game Gear itself, so.
Sure.
Yeah,
it was really expensive, but very impressive to show off to people.
Yeah, I had that, and I had, of course, the car charger and everything.
Yeah, that was the best part of the trip for me. Because I never owned a Game Gear.
Oh, yeah.
But I always wanted one. There were a lot of really good games for it as well.
There were.
I mean, I ended up getting an Atari Lynx.
Oh.
Which,
oh, I feel so sorry for
could
you.
Could do similar visuals, but had games that sucked harder than Hillary Duff.
Yeah, but we spent the entire week almost playing this game.
Yeah, I played it. I was trying to catch up for lost time.
Yeah. And you were playing Sonic like a fiend.
It was a great Sonic game.
It was. I can't remember what the name of it. Do you remember the name?
Was it just Sonic the Hedgehog?
No, it wasn't the first one. It was a sequel.
Well, I know it was not the... but I think it was just called Sonic.
Oh, like Hedgehog. Just Sonic the Hedgehog for Game
Even,
Gear.
Yeah, I know it wasn't the classic original Genesis one. It was all new.
Yeah, it was one
but
of the Sonics.
I'm not sure. Was it called... I'm not sure.
Yeah, but you played that all week. I couldn't get it out of your hands. Couldn't even play my Game Gear on the trip.
It was a great Sonic. I end up beating Sonic. Yeah. Fantastic Sonic game for a handheld.
Yeah.
At the time, having a fantastic killer app for a handheld was... I mean, it had been done with Mario Land, but...
And Tetris.
And Tetris, yeah. I mean, it had been done, but to see something in that level of full-color visuals
and
everything.
Yeah, it had a much better display than the Game Boy.
Oh, yes.
No arguing that.
Nope, hands down. Way better. Way bulkier.
Yeah, much bigger.
Was bulkier.
And it ate batteries a lot faster, too, but...
Was it six double A's?
Yeah.
Was it six?
There were two pockets on each side. And I think it might have been six. Yeah. It was six, because it was an odd number that batteries never come in. So you buy, like, a pack of batteries, like, 10, or like, 8, and you can't buy one pack. You just buy, like, 3 packs to get an even number that fit in your Game Gear.
It's terrible.
It was ridiculous, yeah.
Those were the days, though, man.
Yeah, console was fun, or the handheld.
Yes.
And Sega made another handheld that I don't know if a whole lot of people know about. I learned about it pretty recently, not like yesterday or anything, but
I knew
maybe
about it when
a couple
it came
years
out.
Ago.
I heard about it when it came out.
Really?
Yeah, they had a commercial for the thing.
I had no idea back in the day.
The Sega Nomad.
Sega Nomad. And this was, surprisingly, it was smaller than the Game Gear.
Was it really?
I think it was smaller than the Game Gear.
Smaller.
And it played bigger games. It played full-blown Sega Genesis cartridges that you slap into the top of it on a slot.
That's insane.
And it looked really good. I mean, it's a 16-bit system. And Peter's pulling up his DS and popping out the tiny little cartridge that comes out the top of it.
Yeah, nowhere near the size of... The DS is smaller than a Genesis game cartridges.
Almost.
Just about. I'm sure... I think this is the size of a Super NES cartridge.
It's smaller.
Probably. Is it smaller?
Yep.
I think it probably... Yeah, it is. It's smaller than the Super NES cartridge. They have systems smaller than cartridges now.
Isn't that crazy?
The Nomad took full-blown Genesis cartridges.
Yep. And it not only took giant cartridges, but it soaked up copious amounts of battery life.
Oh, I can only imagine. To do full Genesis graphics portably back then?
Yeah.
Surprised you didn't have to have a room with a big generator in it to support.
You did.
The power.
Well, I mean, imagine trying to run your Genesis off of batteries, which is essentially what it was.
Yeah, that's what it was doing.
And not only run the Genesis, but run the screen, too, off batteries.
Yeah, nobody can say Sega didn't try to push innovation.
No, they were there. They were at the...
They were all over
the forefront.
Absolutely.
But I never had a Nomad.
Me either.
I haven't even played one to this day.
Me either. I am making it my goal to own a Nomad.
All right.
I'm going to own a Nomad as well.
So,
man, I'm making a lot of promises.
You are.
This
you have just spent about $200.
Probably more than that. Probably like $1,000 by now. I've set up buying a Sega CD and I'm going to...
$1,000.
No, probably not.
No.
Okay,
not
a few hundred dollars.
Yeah.
But I'm doing it.
All right.
A few hundred's not bad to get all into Sega again. I'm feeling so nostalgic right now. I'm for it. I'm up for it.
What have you committed to? You committed to the Master System.
Yes.
You committed to the Sega Genesis with the Sega CD add-on and Sonic CD.
Not the 32X add-on.
No,
I didn't commit to that. Don't need that.
And you've committed to the Nomad.
Yes.
You've spent several hundred dollars.
You think?
I think.
Wow. Well, I'm doing all this stuff, so, I mean, don't try and stop me.
Well, let's just hope you don't want these next couple consoles, too, because then you're going to be bankrupt before you
All right. What else do we have here down memory lane?
Next on the plate is the Sega Saturn. which is another Sega console I did not own.
I feel guilty about this.
Guilty.
Part of our segment.
How's that?
Almost feel dirty.
Dirty. The Sega Saturn makes you feel dirty?
Mm-hmm. I need to shower off the guilt.
And why is that?
Let's just say back in 95 through 90, probably 97, I was what you would call a Sony fanboy. And I preached like a Southern Baptist on the pulpit talking about hellfire against Saturn to dozens of people. I can clearly remember these conversations. I got dirty with them, man. I hit under the I hit below the belt and just tore them a new one as to how their Saturn sucked so much compared to the new Sony PlayStation, and how I couldn't believe anyone could ever be a fan of the system.
Shame on you.
Needless to say, I didn't own one.
Really?
Yeah.
That shocks me.
Yeah. And now I feel real bad about that, because...
You killed Sega Saturn.
I hope I didn't have anything to do with that. I'm pretty sure I didn't.
I'm putting it all on your shoulders. You killed it.
All right, it was me. Blame me, fans. Blame me. Did you ever own a Saturn system?
No, I never had a Saturn, but I did know someone that had one. And it was right when it came out, and I think he had a Clockwork Knight. I played a little of that.
Yeah, I was wanting to play that.
Yeah. It was supposedly a good game. I didn't play enough of it to actually realize how good it was. But I played that, and there are a lot of good, really good games on the Saturn, which is why I don't understand why it failed so horribly. Actually, I know why. You said why.
Graphics.
No.
Big.
You kept talking down about it. You killed it.
Oh, yeah.
You killed it.
That was
it.
My fault.
But, yeah, there were a lot of good games, like... Radiant Silvergun, for one, is one of the best shoot-em-ups ever. And I think there was an arcade version of it before, but I can't. I definitely never played that.
Yeah, that was a great one. I had a great game in every genre.
Yeah.
One of the best role-playing games ever made that's very, very hard to find, came at the end of the cycle for the Saturn, was Panzer Dragoon Saga.
Yeah.
Good luck getting one for under $100.
Oh, yeah.
They're really hard to find. eBay has them, but pay through the nose. But I actually got to play it.
Hmm.
And my friend, who was a staunch Saturn fan, didn't meet him till after I'd gotten over being a Sony fanboy. And thank God I did, because he had a collection to salivate over. And I was able to go to his house, and I spent an entire day playing all the greatest Saturn games.
Awesome.
And, man, did that really open my eyes.
Yeah, it had
great
a really
machine.
Good library.
It was all about the graphics in 95.
Yeah.
Seeing, like, Battle Arena Toshinden for PlayStation and, you know, seeing that compared to, like, Virtua Fighter.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
the
Virtua
graphics,
Fighter was kind of the big one back in the day.
It was, but the original release of it on the Saturn played terribly.
Oh, did it?
Not only did it look less impressive compared to games like Battle Arena Toshinden, Tekken for the PlayStation when it came out, but it played miserably. They re-released it. And there was a big debacle about how they ported the game. Such a huge game, and it was a terrible port. So they re-released it, Virtual Fighter like Remix or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd even heard in some places they were allowing gamers to bring in their first copy of Virtual Fighter and trade it in for the new one. It was almost an apology letter.
The game has to be bad if they're going to let you do that.
Yeah, and the remix, fantastic.
Really?
They should. Yeah, if they had done that first, it would have been a whole lot better for them.
Huh.
A lot of fighting game fans were pissed.
Yeah.
And they were like, "I'm playing Tekken for PlayStation."
At least they made it right. But their console died.
Sure did. It
died a very early death.
Didn't do well
no,
in the marketplace.
Did not do well. And
there's
I'm
so
surprised.
Many memories that I got a game disc. Sega sent me a disc.
What kind of
back
disc?
In the day? It was a promo disc, and it arrived in my mail. Went out, got the mail, lived in the sticks, and I see a Sega Saturn promo disc, and I pop it in. No, it wasn't a disc. It was a tape. I had a VCR. It was a tape.
Wow.
They sent people everywhere this tape showing videos, and it was so bizarre because it had, like, some bald-headed man going, "You are not ready for the future," and the presentation was weird.
What?
And then he would show games like a Panzer Dragoon and them flying around shooting stuff, and Virtua Fighter and Clockwork Knights were all in this promo VHS tape that I got in the mail.
Weird.
It was very weird.
Did it make you buy a Saturn?
Almost. I mean, it was a little bizarre, even for Sega. It
scared me a little bit.
It did. It was like haunting the house. But it was strange. But, yeah, I almost bought a Saturn after that.
Wow.
Because the games were, like, looking pretty cool and stuff. But then I saw the graphics on Sony PlayStation and was like, oh, well, that's way better.
Yeah.
But it had amazing gameplay. Some of the best games were on Saturn. I'm not going to promise to buy one of those systems, though.
Good.
Not
although
to say
that's
that I
probably
might,
the
I might
cheaper,
not.
The cheaper of the ones you've described buying. Okay.
I might not be saying I'm going to get one, but I may yet.
All right, so you have to buy four consoles now. I honestly don't have a whole lot of experience with the Saturn, because I never owned one and just got to play it very briefly. So I don't have anything else to say about the Saturn, really.
I do remember playing a very notable game for it, but unfortunately it came out right along the side the release of Mario 64 and also Crash Bandicoot for the PlayStation 1. And they were all lined up in a row at Toys R Us. You had three monitors with Mario 64. This is several months before 64 came out. You could play the full game. Stand there all day, play it, which
cool.
Me and my friend did.
Played the whole game.
And we ate at Burger King afterwards and were just, like, shock and awe. But next to it was Crash Bandicoot, which I toyed with for 5 seconds and was like, yeah, this is no analog control. This is terrible.
Yeah.
Then they had Nights into Dreams, made by Sonic Team. Amazing visuals for the Saturn, but it was on, like, the actual action part of the game when you had powers and could fly. You were on a 2D plane. And it didn't really touch the freedom of Mario 64 at all.
Yeah.
So nothing there in the lineup competed with Mario 64, thus it got all my playtime.
Yeah.
And it looked so much better.
I don't think anything competed with Mario's openness and freeness.
No, that was the game of games in 96.
Yeah.
But Knights really tried, and it was a really fun experience.
All right. Anything else to say about the Saturn?
That's about it for me.
All right, then let's move into the Dreamcast.
Oh, the Dreamcast.
The final Sega console.
Final Frontier.
So far. Maybe they'll come out with another one later on.
I'd love it. I wish they did.
Yeah, but it probably wouldn't do well.
Nah, I would buy one.
Yeah, you and 20 other people.
Make up for killing the Saturn.
Yeah. It's a good thing you bought a Dreamcast, because you had a lot of debt to repay to Sega.
Absolutely, I bought it day it came out, 9/9/99.
No one will ever forget that date.
Nope, I won't.
Yeah, I, let's see, how many Dreamcasts have I had?
Oh, God.
I've
gone
through...
You were going through some kind of mental problem at the time. You, like, buy and sell them. You're like a Saturn, or a Dreamcast dealer.
Yeah, no kidding. But I bought a Dreamcast pretty soon after it came out. And then I sold it, then I bought it, then I sold it, then I bought it. And it went on
times?
Like that for years. Probably
total.
Three.
To date, three?
Yeah, although I just recently bought another one. So
four at least.
Now. Yeah.
Gosh.
But yeah, the Dreamcast. What do you say about the Dreamcast? It was... At the time...
It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it blew me
away. Me, your brother, and our mutual friend went to a game shop one day, and we saw a preview of Shenmue,
a
game by Sega, and the guys were like, "Oh, check this out, man. Let's see PlayStation 2 do this when it comes out." And he pressed power and let us see the opening sequence of Shenmue and all the things you could do in the game. And it was, aside from the title being incredibly dumb to say, it sounded like the whale Shamu. Shamu was amazing. It was an amazing game.
Shamu is amazing.
The game ended up being one of my favorite Dreamcast games ever.
Yep. I have it home. I have the 5-disc collector's edition.
Oh, that's I didn't even know there was a collector's edition.
They had a 3, a 4, and a 5-disc. I don't get the 5.
What do you get with the 5-disc?
You get the passport, and I think you get a soundtrack.
Soundtrack?
I think. I can't remember.
Special packaging?
if you count a little circle that says collector's edition, or limited edition.
That's still cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
Pretty neat that you have that.
But yeah, it was a really good game. I still haven't played all the way through it yet. I played a little bit of it, but never got through it. Because
yeah,
it's a long game.
That was a very long game. I beat the game.
Wow.
I am a Shamu completer.
Wow. Takes devotion.
At this point, I was at my Sega staunchest.
Yeah.
And it's nice to talk about this in the episode because it's coming back.
All right.
And we've got stories to tell.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, it amazed me. When it came out, $99.99, prior to its release, I had seen demos of it, and definitively, in the year 1999, there was no better visual experience you can have in a home console.
Absolutely not.
It had online features. There weren't any online games on launch day, but soon to follow, about a year later. And they had some great online content. One of my online favorites is on the Dreamcast, Phantasy Star Online.
Yeah, I know you're
played
a big
that
fan.
For hundreds and hundreds upon hundreds of hours.
Wow.
Immensely amazing. There is still to this day no other game, even World of Warcraft, that was to me as addicting as Phantasy Star Online was.
Wow.
World of Warcraft ultimately has taken more of my time.
Yeah.
But mostly because, you know, I'm just a completist and I need to get things done. I wanted to complete things in Phantasy Star Online. That was just so hardcore addicting. Yeah. It wasn't a persistent world like some of the newer games, but it was great.
Yeah.
So you had all this in the Dreamcast. You had online playability. It had online killer apps before any other console.
Yeah, definitely.
And it also had killer apps in just about every other genre. Arcade, fighting, Soul
yes.
Calibur. Who can forget? That's only... GameSpot, which we refer to a lot, has rated 4 games in the history of its existence with a 10-star rating. One of them being the Dreamcast Soul Calibur.
Wow. I knew the game was good, because I remember going over to our buddy's house and playing it.
Oh, yeah.
For hours and hours and hours.
Quest modes.
Yeah, the career, or the quest mode, I guess,
yeah.
was awesome. Awesome. It kind of reminded me of, like, Final Fight, where you go through the city and fight your way through different areas.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, that was super cool. And the graphics at the time were
mind-blowing. Even by today's standards.
Absolutely.
Even today, you would hardly be able to find a fighting game that was prettier than Soul Calibur for Dreamcast.
Yeah, I played it very recently. Ago. I have it at home, and it still looks great.
Yeah.
It's really amazing
it
how well it's
held
jaw
up.
Yeah.
To the floor. And other great fighting games, maybe some that aren't quite as pretty, but man, it had excellent games for fighting games.
Yep.
One of my all-time favorite fighters is on there. Power Stone. Recently came out with a Power Stone collection for PSP.
Yeah.
But I doubt it plays as well because the PSP has the lousy analog stick on it. Which analog was very important in that one because unlike Soul Calibur and other games, it was not on a 2D plane. Power Stone,
you had
to run around a full 3D level, so to have the 3D control was finally important in a fighting game, at least more so than I thought it was in the past.
And you could pick stuff up and hit people with it.
Yeah, you could use weapons.
That was kinda cool.
All your characters, if you gathered the stones, could be able to transform into a super version of themselves.
I sucked at that game.
Yeah,
you
sucked
kicked my ass every time.
Absolutely did.
Absolutely.
I couldn't hardly find a challenger at it.
Yeah.
Except my friend that owns that Saturn. He had the Power Stone. I played him. I was kicking his ass. But then after like 2 days of playing, he started to beat me every once in a while. He's getting real good. So, yeah. There are people out there that could kick my ass at the game, but I was, at least among our circle of friends, I was best by far, and that made everybody mad. Not only me, but the game. But the game was not warranted to be mad at as excellent.
Yeah, when I think of Dreamcast, and actually even more so Genesis, I think of fighting games. Sega has always been the king of fighting games, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, even when the PlayStation came out, and you had the Tekkens, and you had stuff like that, and the Virtua Fighters, when they came out with the Dreamcast and Soul Calibur, they blew everybody away. And I'd be hard-pressed to think of a better fighter. I mean, I probably played more of, like, Tekken 3 on the PlayStation, but that's because I consistently had a PlayStation. Unlike my Dreamcast, where I kept selling it and rebuying
it. What's your manic, depressive deal with that?
I have no idea.
I oftentimes just pondered you. Yeah. I wondered what was going on. Why would he sell? Okay, one week you're like, I'm sick of it, I'm getting rid of it. And then I would walk, go over to your house, and you had one again. I was baffled.
I am a man of mystery.
International?
No, just national.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep, it was bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
So, a great machine. One of my favorite consoles ever.
Yeah.
To the end of time. Shenmue, if there are listeners out there that have not experienced Shenmue, get into it and go play this game, because prior to the options found in games like Grand Theft Auto and many other role-playing games that offer big worlds with freedom, this game had it, and you could go into your house and open drawers. You could fumble through cassette tapes and play with radios, and you could go outside and fight in dojos.
And it had the mini games, too, that you could play inside the game.
Tons of games. And like games like Resident Evil 4, which are pretty recent, excellent games, which have what many might think are revolutionary sequences, where suddenly you're running from something and you have to hit a sequence of buttons real quick to survive. Shenmue had that. There would suddenly be a chase scene in Shenmue where you're running down the street after the bad guy, and like somebody drops some shit in your way, and you have to, it flashes like the A button on the screen, you have to tap it real quick in order to keep going with the sequence. Yep. And like games like Resident Evil include it today.
Yeah.
So it really, you know, revolutionized things. Had an excellent fighting system.
Sounds like some old arcade games, but yeah, to have it within this more vast world, is a little different, sure.
So I mean, it was really trying to change things. Yeah. And I mean, you could get jobs, you had to make a living, and it was just
Second
really
life
vast.
Before Second Life.
There was voice acting and just an immense, you know, fighting system.
Well, you talk about Shenmue, but really, there are so many great games on the Dreamcast in all different genres. I mean, there's Shenmue, there's Soul Calibur for the fighting genre, there's Skies of Arcadia, which you were talking about the other day, as an amazing RPG. There's I have to say, absolute favorite. I'm even going to put this above Final Fantasy VII in my RPG
watch
list.
Watch yourself.
And I'm telling you, I think it's better. Grandia 2 is my favorite RPG of all time. I will say it right now.
Damn.
Grandia 2. But you have that.
Wow.
Then the genres don't stop there, my friend.
No, they don't.
In the rhythm genre, which was barely even a genre at the time... Yep. They had Space Channel 5, which was a great game, which we've talked about on the show before. They have had so many games in so many different genres on the Dreamcast. It's a wonder that system died. I don't know why.
You know what game came out for Dreamcast? First?
What's that?
Another great game, not as profound as some that we've mentioned. Crazy Taxi.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That was such an awesome game. That was tons of fun.
It was kind of like a pre-GTA GTA.
Yeah, with the crashing and the going around everywhere. And
picking people up.
Crazy
and
stuff.
Just the huge
area. It was
way
more arcade, but
definitely.
A lot of play mechanics were similar. It was fun as hell. Tons of mini games where you launch your cab through shit. Just wild stuff.
Yeah,
so definitely.
The Dreamcast is, or still
How
is
did it
a phenomenal
possibly fail?
I have no idea.
It blew me away. They were doing phenomenally. All the game magazines were giving all the games immense scores. The game industry was pushing it. They were behind it and said, this is great. And game magazines, websites heralded it as fantastic. It was selling out the ass. It was starting to have an online service. Sega Net was up. They had tons of subscribers. People were playing Phantasy Star until their children died of starvation. And marriages were breaking up. It was a big success.
How you measure the success of a
console. It was ruining families. Yeah.
How many families are ruined? How many people die in direct relation to the console?
To how good the system is. Yeah, absolutely.
So, and by that measure, it was a success.
It was huge. Financially, it did pretty well. I just think Sega was in too much of a pit already.
You think? With a 32X?
Yeah, I think they were
Saturn.
That must have been it. I haven't really researched the history of why Sega actually died, which we will do at some point. We'll get back with our listeners. But, man, everything statistically and commercially said it was doing amazing, and then a statement came out that said, yeah, on the 31st of March 2001, which is right when I was in the height of my PSO addiction, we produced our very last Dreamcast.
And
sorry, that's it. Bye.
And we have a very specific experience that is related to that announcement. And we were in a game shop, and this was probably like 6 months before that announcement was made. We were in a game shop, and we were talking with the clerk about Dreamcast and the games for it and stuff. And the guy told us that here's exactly how he phrased it. He said, did you know that in however many months they're going to stop making the Dreamcast? And at that time, that was such an unfathomable idea in our heads that he may as well have said, did you know in the year 2010 they're going to stop making breathable air? I mean, it made no sense. We couldn't comprehend it because it was such a great console. And yet he was right. He was dead on.
Yeah, I still that's one of the few things in my life I have trouble believing, even though I lived it. The guy was fucking right. We made fun of this guy for literally the rest of the day.
Yeah, we kept saying, did you know this crazy thing? Did you know that crazy thing?
Kept getting more outrageous because him saying, here we are, really big Sega fanboys at the time, and Dreamcast is doing the best. That's mostly all our group plays.
Yeah.
Dreamcast. And here we walk into a game store, Video Game Exchange, and this guy says, you know, yeah, it's a great system. I just, you know, they're going to stop producing it here in a few months. And we just lost all respect for him as a human being.
Instantly.
He was dropped down to less than the scum on our boot. We made fun of him, and man, the things we said.
Oh, relentless.
We were relentless.
Still to this day, we use that joke.
Yeah.
Did you know?
Did you hear that they're going to stop making breathable air in 2210? And then we'd laugh at how stupid the dumb fuck was.
And we did that for 6 months until the
announcement
came.
Until one day I woke up and they said, you know how you love this system? We killed it.
Ridiculous.
Might as well have shot Lassie in front of me. I was so crushed and disillusioned. Yeah. I didn't know what would happen to my beloved industry. I was nervous. I was like, if this much innovation and greatness is denied, you know, and at that point I kind of felt like I had departed from the industry. Felt like we had a vergence there because it seemed like gamers were winning and then suddenly mass market crap decided to bowl it over. Say, no, you don't need great fighting games and great shooters and great rhythm games and adventure and online games. You need, whatever is a really bad PS2 game.
Do you think the PS2 is what killed it? Or, I mean, really?
It doesn't seem like it.
It doesn't feel like it
could.
It
wasn't even big
then. Yeah. Because Sony, they had some success with the PS1, but not enough to kill Dreamcast,
unless,
I wouldn't think.
No, not out front. And the game sales weren't as good as Dreamcast at the time.
And at the time, the Dreamcast looked much better than the PS2.
It did, because the PS2 had anti-aliasing problems and other technical issues when it came out.
Yeah.
So they were having a hard time making games look better.
And even play at all.
And play well. And at the time, Dreamcast visually was the superior system.
It's remarkably similar to what we're seeing here with the Xbox 360 and the PS3.
Yeah. If you took, let's say, a launch title like Bouncer, made by Square, which is like a... You've probably never
heard
of it.
I've never heard of that.
Take that and look at it and play it. Or take one of the, like, Tekken Tag Tournament, I believe, came out for the release of PlayStation 2. Go play Tekken Tag Tournament for PS2. Uh-huh. And place it side by side with Soul Calibur for Dreamcast.
Yeah.
And at the end of that experience, you will be butt-humping the Dreamcast and vomiting all over your PS2.
Wow. That's quite a statement. Quite a statement.
Yeah, but it's the truth, man.
Okay.
But, I don't think it killed it, unless somehow behind the scenes something underhanded happened. I don't know.
I don't know. It just didn't feel like it had the momentum to kill it, outright.
Yeah, I'm going to see why my system died, you know.
Yeah, it felt way too abrupt.
It was. It wasn't even a year and a half after a very successful system was out with great products.
But Sega seems to have a history of just killing things on the spot. And no slow death like we're going to see with the PS2. Nothing like that. It's just one day. And it's not very long after the release of the console. They just up and decide they're going to stop making them.
But why with Dreamcast?
Why?
We can all say, okay, I can see abrupt death to the 32 fucking X.
Sure, it had no games. It was
go
terrible.
Ahead, pull it one day randomly. Yeah. That's fine. That makes sense.
But that's not a console. That's an add-on.
Yeah, that was just an add-on that was terrible.
Yeah.
This was a very successful, innovative, excellent, well-supported, well-developed for pride and joy. For the gamer, and I would think the company.
Yeah.
And then they killed it. It meant nothing. And I still don't understand it. I'm going to find out for you guys.
Yeah.
Find out for me.
One of the industry puzzles that I can't seem to solve.
Yeah. If you guys know any inside info, post on our forums. Enlighten me and Jim.
And you can find our forums at www.gongradio.com.
That's correct.
All right, I think that's about all I have to say about Sega.
Yeah, I think we've spoken a long time about Sega.
We sure should have. All right, then let's move into what we're playing. These last couple weeks, I have not played a whole lot of games, to be honest. I've played mostly handheld. I played Trauma Center, Under the Knife. Bought that a couple months back and never actually beat it, and then I decided to beat it this week.
You said you'd finished it, yeah?
Yeah. And that game is hard as hell.
Really?
Yes.
I wouldn't have imagined that.
Oh, man.
How could it be hard as hell? Some flicking the stylus around.
Yeah, you'd think with the stylus it should be easy, but it's the pace at which you have to flick the stylus around, because you are constantly doing something. Whether you're injecting the patient with serum to keep them alive, or you're hitting them with the paddles, or you're sewing up, they're suturing them up, or you're cutting out tumors. It's really a lot of fun, but it is really hard, especially towards the end. It's almost impossible to do in some spots. Yeah, but I did beat it, and the graphics are really cool in it, because like they've got a really stylized feel, where it's definitely Japanime, so if you don't like that, forget it. But they're like little cardboard cutouts that come out onto like a backdrop, and there's no animation. It just they come out, they have a word bubble underneath them, and they've got some action pose with some fancy effects.
Sure.
And it's cool though. It's really stylized, and I like it a lot. It's tons of fun, even with how frantic it is. Mm. And that kind of makes it more fun too. It's just really fast paced.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, so I had a lot of fun with that. It took me about 7 hours to beat it.
Tried the Wii version?
I have not tried the Wii version yet.
Second opinion?
I'd imagine it would be a little bit harder. with the Wiimote than the stylus. Cause you
really?
Can be really?
You think it'd be harder?
Yeah, because with how precise you have to be with the stylus, I think it'd be hard to be that precise with the Wiimote. But who knows? Could be just good.
Yeah, I was thinking about buying it, maybe.
Oh, you're thinking about getting it?
Thinking about buying it, yeah.
The Wii
for
version.
My new Wii.
Yeah. Why not?
Because I want to follow up, you know. I just have I have the pack in. Sure, I've got Wii Sports and Zelda, so I technically have a couple games, but I just really bought one launch title. I kind of wanted at least two.
Sure. Well, Trauma Center is probably a good one.
It's either that, Monkey Ball, or Raving Rabbids. Was going to be Red Steel until it tanked in the ratings. So.
And killed your interest in the
killed
Wii.
Killed my enthusiasm.
Yeah, but if you're looking for a really good DS game that uses a lot of the functionality of the DS in innovative and really cool ways, Trauma Center. It's right there.
Awesome. Absolutely.
Also, I think I did exactly what Peter Dragon on our forums did.
Oh.
Because he was talking about on the forums how he bought a PS2 to get into Guitar Hero.
Yep,
and
right.
Also Madden. And I did the same thing. I went and bought a PS2 because I played the demo of Guitar Hero 2 at a Walmart. I just played the demo. It's got 8 songs that you can play or something.
Yeah.
And I played those for like 10 minutes and decided I'm going to buy a PS2 again.
Jeez,
just so I can play
Walmart,
Guitar Hero 2.
You play it and you invest all that money.
I invested
after playing a demo.
$160.
Holy shit. That's an impulse
because
buy.
Of the demo. It's a great demo. It's a great game.
It's a magnificent game.
Unbelievable.
I'm definitely getting it. Thank God I already had a PS2.
Yeah. Yeah. I was not so lucky, so I had to buy one.
At least you get the slimline.
Yeah, which is really
got
cool.
Got the old
and small
style.
But, it was definitely worth it, because I've had tons of fun playing this
game.
Have
you been playing it since we played it over here a lot?
Oh, yeah. We played it a few nights. I just recently got it, like, a few days ago. And we played it over here for about 6 hours until, like, 4 in the morning.
Yeah, like a couple sections. Yeah, 6 hours one night and, like, 4 the next.
Yeah, and then I've been playing it nonstop at home. I've probably played a total of 20 hours at home, I'd say.
Jeez.
Yeah, so I've played enough. I'm halfway through hard, and I don't know what I'm going to do when I get to expert, because these songs are really for experts. And I'm sure Peter Dragon knows exactly what I'm talking about, because he said he's halfway through expert, which to me is mind-blowing.
That's
it must
insane.
Be incredible.
That's stellar.
Yeah, so I'm going to be playing
more of
that.
Halfway through medium when we stopped.
Yeah, no kidding. I was having trouble with those for a while.
Oh, yeah.
But I went back and I played some easy ones to get perfects on all of them.
Yeah,
and
that's what I do.
Boy, they're easy. Boy, they're easy after playing the hard ones.
Oh, I bet they are.
Yeah.
Similar to DDR, that's how it was with me.
I'd imagine.
I played DDR all the time.
Yep. Yeah, so I've been playing Guitar Hero 2, and I don't think you need much explanation on that. It's a rhythm game with a guitar.
Yep. Rhythm game, guitar controller.
And anybody who hasn't
classic
played it
songs
needs to go play it right now. Forget it. Whatever you're doing, if it's midnight, find a Walmart, go play the Nimmo, because you will not be disappointed.
What if you're in the middle of playing Shenmue right now?
Forget it. Go play Guitar Hero 2. You can play Shenmue
Yeah,
some
play
other
that
time.
Later. Guitar Hero 2, I mean, that's not going to take up the whole month for you.
No.
Shenmue will, so Guitar Hero 2 is a hell of a lot of fun.
And I've heard Guitar Hero 1 is even better. The track list is a lot better.
Track list, that's what I hear.
Yeah. Although, number 2 has some really cool co-op modes where you can play, like, the rhythm and the bass instead of just the lead.
That's a cool idea.
So, yeah, that would be a really cool multiplayer, which I haven't had a chance to play multiplayer yet.
Plus, in the second one, you have great... I can't believe it wasn't in the first one. An indispensable, I think.
Oh.
Training mode.
Yeah.
Slowing down the songs and doing it in just certain parts of the song so you can perfect it. That seems like a flawless addition in this one.
That was a lifesaver. I got stuck on hard on the song Crazy on You by Heart.
Yeah.
The intro to that is so fast and it's so... The finger arrangement is odd. And you have to use a lot of hammer-ons and pull-offs, and you have to know when to strum and when to just hammer on. And I, without the training, I don't think I could have gotten past it, because I had to slow it down to slowest, learn it, speed it up a little bit all the way through the four different speed levels, and finally got past it with like a 77% or something.
Wow.
Ridiculous. So I don't know what I'm going to do when I get to expert. I'll be in trouble. So that's what I've been playing. How about you, Peter?
Well, I am still working on Final Fantasy III for the DS.
Still?
Yes, I'm still playing a very good game. It's, I think, the crown jewel of current RPGs for the DS. It's, I mean, a lot of people have complained about certain aspects of it, but those are the aspects I kind of are fond of because they're old school. It is a difficult game. Don't get me wrong, it's hard. But I've been playing it a lot.
The only complaint I had about it is every time I walk in the door, you ask me, have you seen the intro to Final Fantasy III?
I think if any of our listeners out there have seen the intro to this game, they wouldn't fault me for that.
I've seen it 14 times, and you ask me every time.
You deserve to watch it again.
I've seen it, and it's amazing. But
it's mind-blowing. The introduction is mind-blowing. I keep watching it because instead of having, like in a lot of newer Final Fantasy games, having cutscenes sprawled throughout the adventure,
yeah,
they only had enough room, I guess, on the little memory card to do one big-ass movie.
It's all right
and
by
it
me.
Basically hits all of the plot notes of the entire adventure. And you
really?
Don't know it until you actually play the game.
Oh, that's kind of interesting.
Which is why every time I watch it, it has new meaning. Like, I'll be like, I just did that. That's awesome. Hmm. Oh, I know that character now. It's not senseless. So that's why, one of the reasons I'm trying to make up for the fact that I don't get those little cutscenes through the adventure.
Yeah.
But I get them all at once, right in the beginning. So
that's interesting.
That's one of the reasons it's still fascinating to see.
Okay.
So I mean, maybe that will explain it a little better.
Yeah,
a little bit.
All right.
Can understand me a little more. But yeah, it's a great game. I have almost all the jobs unlocked. I don't know how they're going to stretch it out, because my characters right now are all level 41, and I've played it for 26 hours,
yeah,
at least, I think, a timer, and it seems like everything says that it's a much longer game, but I have access to what seems to be one of the final dungeons. There's several side quests I could do right now, and I walked right into the final dungeon, got killed, my party wiped. So I'm thinking I need to obviously level more, but I have not, I don't have access to like the final jobs yet and everything, so I'm kind of weirded out. So I'm sure there's a lot more, but I've explored like two overworlds and like done a ton of stuff. I have three airships. And
three airships?
There are three airships.
What are you going to do with three
airships? Well, like, two of them get destroyed right away. There's like like four or five airships in the game. It's ridiculous. They're all different speeds, and some of them have like towns in them. And
wow, big airship.
Oh yeah, this one is big, but it moves really slow. I like the fast one. Even though I can buy weapons, magic, armor, store items, and sleep for free in the big one. I still like the small one because it's fast as hell.
All about speed.
It's a great game. Still playing that, working on finishing it. And, of course, since I just bought a Wii day before yesterday, I've been toying with the new, brand new epic, apparently epic, Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess.
Now,
I'll be the judge of whether it's epic.
I've heard that this hasn't been getting good reviews from a certain editor at a certain site called GameSpot.
Yeah, well, 8.8 is still, I believe, great on their scale. So one might say that is a good review. But analyzing it compared to other sites, which are giving it on average 9.7 and some perfect 10s, I'd say, well, actually, without a doubt, it is the worst web review of it. Even though it still says it's a great game. Every other site says it's legendary, the best Zelda, one of the best games ever made. Way more enthusiasm. But it seems like the reviewer, what's his name?
I can't remember. I vaguely remember
about this
talking
last episode.
Yeah, vaguely I
think.
Remember it.
I think we mentioned him.
Yeah.
But, Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I believe it's Jeff Gerstmann.
Yeah.
We may have some more things to say about him next episode.
Possibly.
Could be.
You might. I know you have a something about him.
I have
him
a segment idea.
Yeah.
And we might introduce it next time. Just to show our appreciation for how fair he is to one of my beloved series of games.
Franchises. But what do you think about it so far? Have you played? How much have you played of it?
So far, I've only played for about an hour, so I don't have a whole lot to say. I'm gonna, you know, maybe mention it again in this segment next week and give everybody a better, more full idea. But just to let you know what I'm focusing on right now, it's New Zelda, New Final Fantasy.
I know you have to have played this. What do you think about Wii Sports?
Wii Sports is great.
Really?
It's amazing to me. I know that there's limited functionality. Mm-hmm. They're not full-fledged versions of these games. But what a taste of the possibilities to come.
Absolutely.
A hell of a fucking taste.
Yeah.
And the first time I picked up the Wii remote and swung it, the first game I played on Wii was tennis for Wii Sports. Pop it in, and I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. I'm standing up in my living room, like, bouncing side to side, ready for a fucking virtual serve.
Yep.
And then it comes, and I hit it. And that's the experience. It's like you don't know Wii until you played it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I hit my first ball, my first volley, got it going, and I was hooked. I had a smile on my face. I didn't even realize it.
Yeah.
I stopped, and the round was over, and I had a big-ass smile on my face. I was like, yeah, hell yeah, this is cool.
It is genuinely fun.
Yeah.
And I haven't really had that experience with a video game in a long time.
Yeah, just pure joy.
Yeah.
Just like pure fun.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's no learning controls. There's nothing like that when it comes to the tennis and the bowling.
It's just what it is.
Yep.
And it's natural, and it's so responsive. I mean, things go, the harder you swing, the further they go, the direction you swing
in. Did you try any, like, slice or anything?
Yeah.
You can even do that. You can lob it up.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
And it's so, and the thing with it, too, unlike with the damn six-axis controller for the PlayStation 3.
Uh-huh.
With the Wii remote, it still has vibration function in there.
Yep.
So when you hit the ball, you feel it.
Yeah.
You feel the ball go boop, you know, in your hand, and you hear the speaker.
Yeah.
You hear the racket hitting the ball coming from where your hand is.
Yeah.
So there are two layers of realism on top of the fact that you just swung a ball and it responded exactly as you swung it.
It's really amazing, and for all the people that were saying, oh, it's the Power Glove all over again.
Oh, no.
It's not.
Absolutely
it's
not.
It's so much more responsive. It's so much more natural.
If anything, it's the power Glove meets the Light Gun. No.
That makes it sound terrible.
I know. I'm just kidding. No,
it's
not
so
at all.
It's so much better.
Absolutely. So it's really impressing me. I mean, in Zelda, it's not as impressive because you can tell Zelda was not intended to be with the Wii. I mean, it's not... The Wii controls, in my mind thus far, do not detract at all from the Zelda game, but it's not like completely... It's not like Wii Sports.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not that level of functionality.
I wouldn't think there really would be in a... like adventure game like that.
Yeah, there wouldn't need to be, but it'd be nice to see each game develop for it from here on out to have that mostly in mind, I'd say.
And from the sounds of developers, it's
because I mean, my imagination was opened.
Yeah.
Once I first played it, I was like, oh man, if I had a lightsaber in my hand instead of a tennis racket or a blaster pistol or this and that and the other and. It's really, really fun. Boxing, actually, is a lot of fun, too. I really liked the boxing.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did.
I wasn't too big on the boxing.
I saw a lot of possibilities there. Can you imagine a full-fledged Punch-Out?
Yeah.
That would be...
A full-fledged any of those games would be...
Would be
amazing.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to the years to come with the Wii.
So am I.
Hope they don't dump it like Sega dumped the Dreamcast.
And we're done with production.
Oh, wait a minute. This just in... looks like on the news sites that Nintendo has just dropped the Wii. Oh, man, that sucks.
Seemed to die an early death.
Wow, I figured it'd last more than 2 weeks. Yeah, I hope that doesn't happen.
No, we won't be seeing that announcement anytime soon.
I don't think so.
Okay, well, I guess that takes us into our final segment, Would You Rather?
Indeed.
And today's Would You Rather question was dreamed up by Peter.
Yes, I came up with this one.
It's about his favorite GameSpot reviewer we talked about earlier.
Yeah, my favorite pudgy punk that fucking gave Zelda Twilight Princess an 8.8 favorite
fanboy
reviewer.
Fanboy.
And we'll see.
Why? Since this is your question, why don't you start?
Okay, let me ask you then.
Ask away.
We are finally returning our very popular segment, Would You Rather? Let me ask you this. Jim, would you rather have your favorite video game franchise of all time either reviewed by Jeff Gershman of GameSpot, the punk who gave Zelda an 8.8 and was too lazy to play Wii Sports in the video trial of the Wii console, wanting to lazily bowl off the side of the couch and not enthused about the system at all. Would you rather have him review your favorite video game franchise or have his blood pressure?
Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry, Jeff. I'm sorry. I wish
Why
I would have
apologized.
I wish I would have known what this question was going to be, because that's. I have to apologize. You hate the man. I have to apologize.
I thought I'd surprise you. I wanted
or
to
have
this
his
one,
blood pressure.
Or have his blood pressure,
oh,
which you know is probably going to drop a horse dead.
See. Okay. Well, on the one hand, we've got the video game, him reviewing my favorite franchise.
Yeah.
Which would hurt the franchise in the minds of a lot of people. They'd see this low score from a reputable reviewer and maybe not even play the games. On the other hand, we have his blood pressure. We have his blood pressure.
Yeah.
I would imagine that his blood pressure, me not having built up the hardened veins that would be required to hold that type of blood pressure, I have a feeling it would detonate my heart, my veins, throughout my body, effectively killing me instantly.
Yeah, instantly.
So, in the light of that, I have to choose to let him review my video game franchise, favorite franchise. I have to. Otherwise, I'm dead.
What is your favorite franchise?
Oh, that's such a tough...
Do you have one?
I knew you were going to ask me that, and off the top of my head, it's so hard to talk about.
What's one of your favorites?
One of my favorites is obviously Zelda. I'm a big Zelda fan.
Okay.
So, we'll just say Zelda. I don't know if that's my favorite.
So you'd rather, keep that 8.8 review of Gershman.
He can have his 8.8 as long as I can have my heart.
Then you would have
my life.
Yeah, I suppose. You're right. Yeah, I can see where you're coming from on that. When it comes to me on this issue, you know, I really despise that review, but I'm glad you're here to balance this with common sense.
With
because,
death, yes.
Yeah, because you're right. I mean, what human body could contain the blood pressure of that man's? He's so enormous and sweaty and...
Oh, man.
And foul.
You're doing this man a great injustice.
I know. He's really... I mean, there have been one or two bigger people than him.
Oh, no.
In the history of Guinness. But, Jesus Christ, I mean, to have a normal-sized person like myself suddenly be infused with the blood pressure of a, you know, what must be a demigod to have a form that big, it would be so legendary. It would be like a, it'd be a rush, you know, it'd literally be a rush of blood to the head.
For a few seconds.
And it would be, you know, so in a way it might be exciting. Suddenly you're, you know, feel like you have enough energy to plow through a small hotel complex. But then suddenly when you realize that all the blood is now spilling from all your orifices and shooting out your eyeballs, you know, in your falling down dead of a heart attack, you would probably, I mean, I wouldn't be alive to still fucking play Twilight Princess.
No, exactly.
I mean, and enjoy every last drop of the great game that it will be, you know, despite the review that it got on GameSpot.
Yeah.
By Jeff Gershman. So, yeah, you're right. I'd probably just go ahead and let him have his fun with my franchise. Let him fuck it up, screw it all to hell, and keep my life.
The blood pressure would make an awesome scene in a movie, though.
Oh, yeah, somebody accidentally got a hold of his Gershman's blood pressure.
Yeah. Because that's what I was worried about, a normal-sized person like me. I mean, yeah. I have a couple extra pounds, but I'm not Gershman-sized.
Yeah, you're not the size
I'm
of
sorry. I hate to say it.
Yeah, you're being kind of mean to the guy,
too. I know, and I don't have any... I don't feel any malice towards him at all.
You're just caught up in the spirit
of
my angst.
It's fun. It's all in good fun, Jeff.
Yeah, from Jim's perspective, anyway. At least.
All right. Well, I think that will just about do it for our show.
All right. Episode 5.
Episode 5.
Of Power Play.
As always, if you have any suggestions, questions, or comments, or you just want to chat with us, you can visit our forums at www.gongradio.com. That's gongradio.com. Or send us an email at powerplay@gongradio.com. Also, we can use more iTunes reviews. So if you like what you've heard, feel free to write up your thoughts and leave us a review. And with that said, until next time, I'm Jim Jones.
And I am Peter Street. Keep an eye on that blood pressure.